Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare this generation? It is like children who sit in marketplaces and call to one another. We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by her works." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We know that there's a triple dynamism in Advent. The Lord is coming. We go out, we're supposed to go out with lighted lamps to meet the bridegroom. And then in that encounter with the bridegroom, be so changed that the whole direction of our life is altered and we begin to journey with him. That's the reset button that the church gives us at the beginning of every new liturgical year. It's important for us to ponder whether that's what we're really intending. Today's gospel is placed with us at the end of this second week of Advent, for us to see if that's really what's happening. Takes this episode with Jesus and the people who were constantly bombarding him with criticism, who didn't want to change. So Jesus said, "To what shall I compare this generation?" And he took an example they all knew well, the children in the marketplace playing music and trying to get people to dance to their tunes. Jesus said a few things there very relevant to diagnosing one of the biggest spiritual problems that all of us routinely have to face. Children who sit in the marketplaces, they're not the ones who really want to move. They're static. Problem number one. Then second, they've got the musical instruments and they're the ones playing the tunes, and they want others to dance to what they set. Whereas the truly Christian attitude is, Jesus is the one playing the music, and we're the ones who are supposed to attune our steps to that music rather than the other way around. So often we're tempted to evaluate everything according to our own interests, according to our own pleasures. And we can do the same thing with the Lord. That every once in a while we want to play a slow, sentimental ballad so that Jesus will be able to care and comfort us exactly the way we want on that day. Sometimes he will interrupt a homily with a strangely falling candlestick so that we will all pay greater attention to what's happening. Sometimes we'll want heavy metal to be played, literally to scare the hell out of certain generations. Other times we'll want something like a military march so that everybody else will stand at attention and get moving. We like to order things around us. And in Advent, we come and we remember that Jesus really is wiser. He knows what's happening. And to ask, what tune is he playing? And am I dancing to that melody? What tune is he playing this Advent? What tune is the church playing? Is it a tune necessarily that I would prefer, that I like? Is it a tune that's changing me? One of the tunes is obviously a tune of mercy. He wants us singing Misericordias Tuas in Aeternum Cantabo. I will sing of your mercies forever. Another tune that he wants us to sing is the Magnificat. At all times we shall be praising the Lord. Another tune that he wants us to be singing is a tune like Our Lady. Let it happen to me according to your word. Let my whole develop, life develop according to what you wish. He will want a tune that sounds very much like Console, Console, O My People. He'll want us singing not just O Come, Emmanuel, but a tune that opens us up to accept and respond to that God with us on his way. But for us to pay very close attention to the Lord's music, for us to change is what's supposed to happen. In the first reading, the prophet Isaiah for the Lord says, I, the Lord your God, teach you what is for your own good and lead you on the way that you should go. But we need to be receptive to that teaching and to that guidance on that way, rather than trying to make the Lord fit into our own categories. When we do, that's when real fruitfulness comes. The rest of the reading from Isaiah talks about this blessing, but the psalm does it even better. That when we plant ourselves in the Lord in this way and allow him to do the leading in that dancing, then we'll be like a tree planted near running water that will bear its fruit in every season and whose leaves will never fade. That's what the Lord ultimately wants for us. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Juan Diego. I'll let you pronounce his last name. Quetzalcoatl, or thereabouts. St. Juan Diego needed to struggle a little bit with this. He had a certain divine rhythm in him. He's one of the most beautiful of all saints, 57 years old, shuffling off to Mass, 15 miles in each direction to go to daily Mass. How deep was his desire to receive what the Lord was giving, namely himself, and also to pray for a sick relative. He was, in a sense, in the general direction of what the Lord would want. But when Our Lady came down and said, I want you to go sing this tune to Bishop Zumárraga, that's when Juan Diego basically said, no, I can't sing that tune. You've got to get an ecclesiastical bass to be able to go there so that the bishop will actually listen to him. And Our Lady said, no. There are lots of other people that I can choose, but I am choosing you, and I want you to go. He obeyed, but not with all of himself. He didn't really believe fully that he was a capable emissary. And when he failed, he thought that it was simply because of him. But eventually, as we see in Guadalupe, Mary helped in becoming part of his lyrics, entering into his life through entering into his tilma, and becoming a response to the sign that Bishop Zumárraga had asked for. That was a sign not just of a miracle that Our Lady had given, it was a sign that had entered into the very fabric of Juan Diego's life. You know, a lot of the times when we look at the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, we see Our Lady in the way that she wanted to come as a woman of Advent, pregnant, about to give birth in a whole new culture. And we should, and we could ponder that for the rest of our life in all its miraculous details. But at least for me, one of the things that I constantly have to go back to is, that's Juan Diego's tilma. He was the one who used it to collect in obedience those roses. And little did he know that the tilma with which he had gone out on a cold December morning at the top of a mountainous region would become the second most famous piece of clothing of all time to the Shroud of Turin. Little did he know, nor little do we know, what the Lord would be asking of us. But today he's asking us to sing a new song, his song, the song of the redeemed, the song of the Messiah. Let us ask the Lord for the grace to sing with all the gusto we have and to dance with him so that, as the Carmelites like to say, we will enter into that place which is the eternal dance in which all the saints spin together in unison and harmony with the bridegroom. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.